Hey everybody, welcome to Street Fight Radio, your favorite anarcho-comedy radio show. We're here every single week, a few times a week, on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, podcasting apps, whatever it may be, even just streetfightradio.com. You can always press the big play button at the top, hear the brand new show. Also, follow us on SoundCloud, repost us, let people know, give us those hits, and you know, thanks for being here. Thanks for checking us out. If this is your first time, you don't know what we're about. We've been around for 6 years now on community radio, WCRS here in Columbus, 92.7, 24/7 radio happening at WCRSFM.org. You can listen wherever you're at. You don't have to be in Columbus. We did our first live call-in show last Sunday. And the Sunday ahead of us, we're going to be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. On July 23rd, we're performing live at the River West Public House. So we're not going to be able to take over the airwaves. But the 30th, I think we're putting it on the calendar. That's going to be our next call-in show. So get ready for Sunday, July 30th, to get more action like that from us. We had a lot of fun doing it. Thank you to everybody that called in. Please give them a lot of thanks and follows for doing that. And we are going to continue with live shows this entire summer. We're doing one in our hometown, Columbus, Ohio, the Heartland. July 27th, we're going to be the guests on the District Sentinel.
Best kind of show you can ever possibly do, being the guests.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's at the Tree Bar where our 420 show was at. Please bring mushrooms again like you did at the 420 show. We're going to have a lot of fun and show them how Columbus gets down. So please show up for that and show some support. I think the DSA is going to have a table there too. So we're happy to help them out as well. Milwaukee show will be raising money for the DSA as well. Also, so August 25th in Atlanta, Georgia at the Mammal Gallery, and then September 17th in Baltimore, Maryland, there at the Auto Bar. We're doing a free show / donation show. We got some Juggalo books from a listener that is a badass who did some photography for the Gathering of the Juggalos for 3 years, I think he said. And he sent us a few copies of his book, so we're going to use that to raise some funds and, you know, maybe hand out some prizes at the show. We're trying to make these as fun as we possibly can, so enjoy us on this journey as we continue that. I'm ready to get the show started.
Let's do this, man. I mean, we don't celebrate political victories, do we? That's not a big... I mean, we celebrate political victories, but real ones. Like, oh, the Americas... Like, the Pentagon just announced that we're an empire in decline. And, of course, Brett and I are dancing on the ashes of the American empire, of course. We're like, woohoo, finally.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for... Actually, it's something we started. I think we started the show. We've been saying that we were going to take down America. Now we're getting... We're at the height of our powers right now, I would say.
Yeah.
And America is going down. That's just proof of what can happen.
Check all the comments. Everybody tell you as America is in the shitter.
Yeah, that's what happens. So like as we go up, America goes down. So think about that the next time you're like, oh, I don't know if I need that Patreon. I don't know if I need to get that zine. The higher Street Fight goes, the lower America goes. Okay? But so a nice failure on the healthcare bill. A complete and utter, Charles Krauthammer called it an epic fail, Brett. An epic fail, which now is a word.
Like official designation, right?
If they wrote the Constitution right now, it would have an instance of the word epic fail.
Sure, 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 sure. That as we craft a new healthcare bill, I think we make it a part of legislation that we will avoid epic fails when it comes to things like people's health. Can I get a round of applause, folks?
Exactly. So that's what's it's an epic fail. And what happened was, and the listeners know this, we don't ever have to go too much into explaining all of these things, but basically John McCain had a blood clot, which is like, cool, all right, well, that worked out for us
then. Yeah, what the blood clot, but like it actually means a good thing this time. It's not like a cuss word.
This is
a good blood clot.
Oh, yeah, this is a good one. This is a good ailment. This is a good... He has that good senator healthcare.
Yeah.
So we know he's going to be just fine.
But, you know? But so apparently...
They're exempt from Obamacare, apparently.
And this guy was the bridge, though. He was like the bridge to the centrist solution. He was going to go out there and take his hands and join them together in a circle with the Republicans and Democrats to push through this Trump care, right?
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. He was going to he was going to bring this debate to the center. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not saying that he causes center politics. He gives the illusion.
He's the hero of it. I don't know why. Yeah. They're always like, John McCain will figure it out. He'll come up with something right down the middle.
Well, the
you should see him cut a cake.
That's what's so stupid about the Republicans, too, is like they had a guy that pretty much everybody was like, OK, I trust this John McCain. You know, of course, smart people didn't trust John McCain. But I'm saying that like that you could talk normal mainstream Americans into liking John McCain, and then the Republicans smeared his ass. And you're like, why would you do that?
Yeah, he wasn't pure enough. He wasn't stupid enough.
Looking for Kid Rocks, though. Yeah. They're looking for your Kid
Rocks.
They
like celebrities. They want Antonio Sabato Jr.
That's cool, though, man. I mean, that's another decline. Like
Ronnie Reagan, the cowboy.
I'm sure a lot of the senators in Rome were like basically Scott Baio's.
Yeah, Sonny Bono, right?
Yeah, he was one. He's dead, though. We know. According to Eminem, he skied and he hit some trees.
Yeah. Scooby-Dooby, right? Sonny Bono, yeah. Yeah, okay, yeah. I remember that now.
Yeah, oh,
that's how
I heard about Sonny Bono.
That's American high school. That's what I learned in American high school, I think. That was my lessons that I really paid attention to.
So then Trump was like, you know what, man? If I can't get my crappy health care bill passed, then you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to get rid of what we have. Like currently, Obamacare's done. It's gone. We're not going to have that. I'm just going to repeal it.
See, I actually have to say I'm pretty proud of myself because I didn't give a shit about this. I never thought they were going to make it happen. And I was pissed because I got screamed at on a patio where people were like, what do you think? What about Trump care, Brett? How's that? How's that going to work out for you? It's like, I don't know. Obamacare. I just got a $600 bill from the doctor under Obamacare. And And Trump care isn't happening, you know?
Yeah.
It's not happening yet. But everybody was at people's throats like, you fucking did this to all of us, you dirty Bernie-crats.
Yeah. Well, and then I went and stood at Rob Portman's office, and it's the second I saw them dumping people out of wheelchairs, I was like, I don't think this is going to pass. This is not going to be a popular bill.
Okay, I do have to say that, yes, apathy, I'm not saying that apathy won out. I have to say that I did not do the horse race. I know people woke up every single day and followed all the petty details of this thing. I had none of it. I felt so relieved because of that. But the only reason that this did not happen is because people made a fucking ruckus out of it. There was these people's town halls where they're like, we're going to have a people's town hall. We don't care if you're there or not. We'll stand out in front of your fucking office. We'll hold a goddamn meeting about your ass, show up or not. We've had all over our neighborhood, where is Senator, like a missing sign for Rob Portman, and then it has like little things that you can rip off. They've been all over the cork boards. Same for that. Who's that other asshole that I went to? His office.
Pat T-Berry?
T-Berry, yeah. He's over here too. And like, it's been a continual pressure on those people. I went down to T-Berry's office to just ask questions about it. The guy, you know, shoot us out of the office. But I think that more than anything, these people are running a popularity contest. They need to be able to be, they need to be popular, and they need to make money for people. And that's what they're into. And they don't want to be the person that takes away Nanaw's healthcare.
Well, and the last thing they want is us as people paying attention. And if there's people in the streets, then they're paying attention. You know, you don't want you don't want your meemaw to turn on the TV and see the police dumping people out of wheelchairs.
Yeah.
Like that, you can't win that way. No. Like, oh, that's no.
No, that's wrong.
Yeah, that's so gross. That's wrong.
Turn that off. They're just like, they're holding their nightgown clothes.
What are you watching on this TV? The news? It's all violence these days.
That's just terrible. That's just terrible what those police are doing. Yeah, you can't win that one.
Yeah, that's and at that point, but then they went for full repeal, which I had a little bit of faith that they, and this all happened kind of in one day. They went for repeal and then they were like, Turns out we're not going to be able to get 3PL done either.
I actually, you know who I saw commentary on it was a new guy, a Donut Observer, was suggesting that the people in the wheelchairs were pretending to need those wheelchairs, which is, you know, the common right wing answer to most of the problems that happen in the world, right?
Well, Brett, why wouldn't they? People in wheelchairs get treated so great in society that of course they were pretending and faking to get their political stuff passed.
They're just too lazy to work, right?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
why they're in those wheelchairs.
What's Donut? Donut what?
Donut Observer. He's
cop,
a
right?
ex-troop cop that does like internet commentary. He's pretty big deal.
He's like a what's his name? Amiri King.
He's Amiri King with credentials. Yeah. Like Amiri King without drug charges.
Yeah. Amiri King without four DUIs.
Yeah, or in like a copper wire dismissal.
He looks like a dude that's been in some copper wire situation. Amiri King?
He's flipped rims, probably.
Donut Observer. Yeah, you sent me a thing this week and were like, I fucking hate this guy. And I was like, I didn't get to check into him. I'm glad you told me about him.
It made me sick because, you know, it was just people sharing it that aren't in Columbus, and they're very close to the city. And there is so much these days people living in absolute fear of the world, of the city, really,
yeah.
of like urban or progressivism, society at large. To them, they think there's like Sharia no-go zones here in yeah. Columbus, right? There's like the gangs own the south side of Columbus. Like, you know, they say all kinds of crazy shit.
Yeah, yeah.
They make up all of these terrifying things that are happening, and we're living and swimming in it and a part of it. And it's just so fucking infuriating to see someone say, well, it looks like there's two sides to this wheelchair thing. Oh, like you saying that these motherfuckers are faking it. That's the other side.
The second side is...
Well, you know, maybe the police did dump that, but it's only because they were faking it.
I know, and like there were books written about how they sowed the seeds of doubt in people's minds back before the internet, and now the way that they do it is they just have some dingus go on and do a Facebook Live and say like maybe they was faking. I was there, Donut Explorer, whatever your name is. They were not faking. Everybody was so sweet. It was the nicest people I've ever protested with at that thing.
Yeah, and then they did the false narrative where they're like, someone was having chest pains inside of there. And it's like, nobody was having chest pains, though.
That was a lie, too.
And no elevators were blocked. This is stuff.
One elevator was blocked.
Sure.
There was one left unblocked.
That's what I mean.
Which is, that still means elevators are
no
there.
No elevator was left unblocked.
Yes.
There were still, you could still have access to elevators. They were nice enough to do that. And I don't know. It's just kind of infuriating. It feels like, you know, we put on our podcasting boots and lace them up to do the job. And then there's just some jagoff on the other side making up fantasies that make white dudes feel better about themselves.
Yeah, yeah. That is the whole life. It's, did you hear the story? Come on, noise. I'm sorry. I forgot to turn the sound off on my computer.
He got pranked in an email.
Some scumbag website had sounds on it. So, yeah, they failed, Brett. They failed to get it overturned.
Oh, sure.
And now it's over. It's just the whole thing's over. Trump, these people who voted for Trump are getting a little taste of what it was like for the left when Obama won, for people like me who believed in Obama.
We're about to get some people back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think some of those people that were the Bernie until it became Hillary people that ended up going Trump. Thinking like, man, fuck this shit, man. They're just going to be just as disgruntled. You're right.
Yeah.
The same way the story goes, and this is right, about 3 months into Obama, Brian was like, man, I'm not feeling this shit. Like, I don't think this is going anywhere where we want it to be. And I'm like, just cool out, man. It's pretty brand new here. Like, we just got to see what happens, you know? Like, I don't have too much faith in the United States government, but this guy, I mean, he went to a pretty badass church, right? Jeremiah Wright taught him the real shit about America, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he was, they were worried about him being, like, super socialist.
Marxist. They were like, this is a Marxist.
And I was like, he might be, like, a Trojan horse. I don't know. Let's see. Let's see.
He wasn't. He didn't turn out to be one, and now they're finding out that it's always... You know who wins in the end? Always business.
Yeah.
Business
Jamie
always...
Jamie Dimon.
Yeah, always wins in the end. You know, some business. Jamie Dimon's tired of banking now. He's
gonna get like open a chalada stand down in the Bahamas or something.
Yeah, I actually did see the New York Times wrote a damn article about a Goldman Sachs president that's a DJ now. DJs techno music at the country club on the weekend.
Man, I'd love to crash that party.
Don't tell me. I'll get you the story.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it on the air. I don't want to incriminate myself. I don't want to be able. I don't want them to literally play out what I fucking do to this guy. Like Mr. Payne, you said this live on the air that you were plotting to do this.
Yeah. So this is a Billboard magazine wrote it actually. Monday through Friday, David Solomon buttons up as one of the most powerful members of the fifth largest bank in the United States. He's steering the ship that handles $860 billion in assets. But come the weekend, he steers the drinking towards the dance floor, hordes toward dance floor heaven, and his name is DJ D. Saul. D. Saul, like as in David Solomon. He's D. Saul, and he goes by
like,
DJ.
Kind of be a little bit of a diesel thing.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Diesel.
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 Diesel. Okay, I mean, when I first learned how to make sounds on the computer when I was a kid, I made an album too.
He had somebody training. Yeah, I know.
He probably paid a producer.
He paid Paul Oakenfold,
right,
to come to his house.
Steve Aoki.
He set the whole thing up for him. He has people set up his equipment when he goes there, and all he walks up behind the thing and he presses a button, and then they convinced him.
He just rocks out.
And they told him, like, you just go like this every once in a while. And they played like it's Paul Oakenfold, and he's up there thinking he's making a difference by moving stuff around. None of the knobs work. It's just different music. But yeah, he's...
Well, I mean, anybody can do it, and it really does go to show. I mean, access is all it is, you know.
Fruity Loops. He should get Fruity Loops.
Yeah,
I wonder if he's tried that.
That is a great way to get started.
Yeah, this is from the New York Times, like, wrote this. Like, it was, like, one of those endearing, like, let's get to know.
Well, maybe it'll lead to some insane drug use that'll get him to quit his job or something. It could turn out for the good.
I don't think so, dude. I don't think these guys ever have that.
Do you think they're just like egotistic, like to the end, they're psychopath killers? Right?
I think that he probably charges for his DJ sets.
Yeah, like $6,500. He's probably getting paid like $5,000 from a country club.
Something that would make... that would change our lives. He makes every weekend, and it's just so people can be like, this guy, he's also the president of Goldman Sachs, and the New York Times just did a fucking advertisement for him.
But I don't know, man. Human beings come in every single type of flavor, and maybe he speaks through the turntable. His hands speak through finance and the turntable.
What do you think he's saying, though?
Just Skrillex ripoff, I'm sure. He's probably just doing
music.
It for the free sex, orgies, and drugs, man. That's the best reason to become a DJ.
I think he's doing it because he thinks it's really cool. Like, it's cool. But you can't... Listen to me. People out there that are listening to the show, you can never be cool and be the CEO for the president of Goldman Sachs.
That's true.
You are always going into the guillotine. It doesn't matter... What neat
if you can
thing
skateboard
you do.
If you have, if you can like get really good air on a snowboard, I mean, you're just gonna have to do that to a volcano.
It doesn't matter how many ayahuasca experiences you've had, you're not getting out of it, man.
Yeah,
he's in control of $860 billion. He could send each one of us a little bit of money,
a dollar. He could send one of us, each one of us, a dollar and still have half his money left.
I know. He would never do that, though. He would just be like, why don't you come and see me at this bar in Miami for a $35 cover fee, some kind of bar in Miami called like Palisades or something like that.
Sonoma.
Yeah. Some bar with it's all white and it has like a lot of like art deco in there and just people in Hawaiian shirts that are buttoned like halfway down.
The Polo Ralph Lauren ones.
Yeah.
The double
hush,
RLs.
Hush with the yayo. That's the Scarface song. That's creepy to me though, man. This Goldman, and I think it's because I've never met a CEO, but all these everybody we talk to is at the bottom.
Yeah.
Is at the bottom or in the middle of that ladder, right?
Yeah.
And they're all miserable. A lot of them are very miserable. And
with the CEO, the labor situation, you mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying their lives are miserable. I'm saying that their labor situation sucks.
Yeah,
this guy is bunk. He gets his side gig gets covered. Second job gets covered in the New York Times as like a puff piece to make people like him more. Who wants to see a 55-year-old DJ anyway?
No, it sounds like a nightmare.
Unless it's like a guy from like Sugar Hill Gang or something. I'd go see that even.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is just a terrible event. I mean, this is what happens when you consolidate money is you get these awful events like this.
I'm taking all his money.
But it's like, I mean, I don't know. But like, I mean, even like a Patrick Bateman can be like high functioning and good at like artistry, you know? I mean, he's just like serial killer basically probably too.
Yeah he probably is. He's probably a real fucking weirdo, Brett.
He's a Dexter.
Well, you know who's at it again? Liz Uline.
Oh no, she's a serial killer too.
She's crazy. I got the new Uline catalog.
Oh really? I didn't know that was out.
The new About Us. It's Hope and Change part two.
Number two.
So
this is the top small business tyrant in America. She provides all of the shipping and cups and plastic bags and all of the things you need for your offices and your parties and picnics. Uline is there with bubble mailers and tape and just all those supplies. But it's run Not in like a gigantic corporation. It's not like the Nexus. It's not like this calm and just gigantic corporation. It's a small, tight-knit operation run by one dictator, Miss Liz Uline.
Right. And they give money a lot to Republican campaigns. They were big-time Trump donors. And they really give the marching orders. They send their catalog to small business tyrants, and then small business tyrants open it up, and they like inject these weird editorials into their arm before they go through and order their boxes.
Yeah, they'll give you a free like performance fleece of your local football team if you order enough from them. And then they also print a manifesto in the catalog.
A lot of people don't know about it either. I mean, this is something we've been covering maybe since the beginning of the year. I just happened to, somebody posted a picture of one of these screeds from the back of a Uline catalog log, and I saw it and we covered it before. And it was the first Hope and Change part one. We're going to read Hope and Change part two tonight. And it just, what it did was it baffled me. It made me feel like, wow, somebody like doesn't mind doing this to their business, you know, like sure. This is somebody's business. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I had a conversation with somebody, an older lady, wiser lady, not to say that's just why I'm saying older, but she was saying that the trouble she has found is the way that the Fox News cycle takes a hold of people, and they're just so determined, and every other news cycle they look at, they're like, well, Fox News told me the truth about this, you know? Yeah. And it's really frustrating that these people run around and say they're extremely open-minded, and what they found with their open-mindedness is, you know, stories like people in wheelchairs are faking it.
Yeah.
Fox News spent... They read stories about, like, Obama telling roving gangs of black men to run through the streets and beat the shit out of white people.
Oh, you know? They do. They think, I had a meme the other day that they think that, like, I'm going to get this meme up real quick before we do this.
I'll mention it a million times over. I don't care. I've mentioned it several times on this show, but an uncle in the family shared a meme about Obama being a transgender crack whore in high school. And this is a guy that in the family is known as kind of a academic dude. He was a teacher. He's a retired teacher. And he has just this, like, he's a guy that knows things, right? He's a guy that just has answers and studied history and has these snippets to share and something insightful. And the motherfucker thinks that Obama was a crack whore in high school.
Is he the one that, like, had a real, like, meltdown about hummus?
It is the same one. It's the same guy that was really weird about hummus, where he just really wanted to tell us how much he disliked hummus to the point where I felt like, I get what you're saying, dude. You're not down with, like, Muslim shit. Like, you're just not accepting of any sort of Arabic or Muslim food in your fucking lifestyle. I get it. You're that American, okay?
Yeah, I feel like this has gone into a racist territory about the hummus guy. Yeah. You know, I feel like this thing said that Obama has increased taxes, I can't remember what the other thing, but then it said increased hatred of the cops. And I'm like, what? Right. That's Obama's fault.
But ladies and gentlemen, the police, fuck them.
Fuck them. Okay. That is what they think he thinks.
Yeah, no, that's exactly. They're like, he's telling them he's got secret code. He speaks jive, man. He tells them all to go tear up their own neighborhoods. It's like, what fucking world are you people in? Yeah. It's frustrating. It's fucking frustrating.
So Liz Uline, I guess what she does is she gives little subheadings for each little issue she's going to talk about. It's really an easy way to write. It's something I did in the new metal zine. If you can make a list and then comment on each thing in the list.
Listicle.
That's some good words. That's a lot of words you get written.
Clickbait, baby.
It fills a page, baby. The first one, Chicago's murder count, which is every racist Republican is obsessed with Chicago's murder count. As a matter of fact, Pinko Snob on Twitter happened to mention to me that she thinks maybe per capita that there's more murder in Wilmington, Delaware than there is in Chicago. Like, the murder rate kind of roughly translates they were trying to explain the whole time, what is it Chicago? Why is it Chicago? And I want to explain this. It's because they're saying black people, that Chicago means black people to those people.
Well, it just means black Chirac. On black crime. It's all about black on black crime. This is what they've got fallen into, is that somehow the police killing and prosecuting and attacking black and Latino communities. These fuckers are pointing out things that are irrelevant. You know, this isn't like the system isn't doing black on black crime, you know?
Yeah. So here's the first one. Every Monday morning, the city announces the death count for the past weekend. Last year, 762 were killed and 4,331 were shot in Chicago. It was the deadliest year in nearly two decades. That's beyond distressing for such a great city. I don't know what she wants. What does Liz Uline want? Yeah. With that, like, there's ways to fix these things. Yeah. There's definitely, like, good ways to fix these things, or we can keep just, like, because what she, I don't know what she thinks. We've tried the jailing people. We have the largest prison population in the world. We've tried to jail. Okay. Yeah.
Busting people doesn't work.
But that's all they want to do.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that they want to spend money on is more cops. That's always the solution. It's like, maybe we should punish more. That we should try this punishment thing.
Yeah, I feel the same way with, like, the abortion stuff too, where they're so completely against that, but also against any sort of care or assistance for the people that should be born, you know, that they believe are, like, miracles. Like, they're really not down for taking care of any miracles or making sure miracles are you know, don't live in suffering or poverty, you know?
I mean, those kids are specifically the ones that they don't want to have any safety net. You know, they're the ones that's like, poor people, you shouldn't even be having damn kids. And it's like, oh, well, that's the kid's fault then. Let's punish the kid, you know?
Yeah, and then they're abstinence only. They're only, you know, they're trying to take away birth control. It's all puritanical. It all comes down to puritanical shit to me. That's what I mean, at the end of the day, they just expect the whole of the law to be, if you are not achieving perfection, you should be punished accordingly, you know?
Right.
If you aren't the model American citizen, you should be punished for that.
I think this is the same damn one we read, because it's got marijuana in it too, Brett.
Yeah.
Somebody sent me this today, the new U-Line, and now we're reading the same U-Line thing we read before. Well, marijuana, have the politicians gone mad? Marijuana stays in your system for at least 5 days. This can affect U-Line warehouse employees who go up 30 feet in the air to pick products off the shelves. It affects your children or grandchildren who may be busy telling you it's safer than alcohol. It's bad news. It remains a gateway drug.
That's bullshit, man. It sharpens your senses so much. Like
if I'm climbing
a tree or on top of a roof, I'm like, I'm pretty fucking high right now. You better be focusing. You know, like if I was sober as hell, I'd just be up there lollygagging around there, not taking it serious. But when you're high, that really like elevates the reality of the situation, puts you present in the moment. And you'll be up there dancing on the roof like Jim Morrison when you're high off fucking drugs.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, so many people have been high on forklifts and not gotten hurt.
Yeah. I mean,
like I've worked in warehouses before, and most of the people on the forklifts are high.
I've driven a vehicle high for at least the last 10 years all the time and have had no accidents to report.
She thinks marijuana stays in your system like that means that you're going to be high all those
and days. They think high means you're giggling all the time, right? You're giggling and laughing. You're laying on the ground. You're drooling. You're just you can't stop thinking about pizza. You're like Scooby-Doo and Shaggy. You start seeing everybody as roasted turkeys.
Yeah. So they just print the same one every month and mail it to people?
Yeah, I think so.
It's just their plan.
I mean, you only write something like that once. You don't want to belabor the point. You just want to get it done, right? I mean, I don't think you have to write it more than once.
Actually, some of these are new.
There's really?
Some that I didn't see. That one was a marijuana one, but foreign policy, Brett. Did she mention foreign policy in the last one? He says, get one. The best college course I ever had was deterrence and defense. The strongest guy in the playground has a responsibility. What does that mean? What is that? What does she mean by that?
We can put our thumb on the scale.
We go kill some people. Hey, you know, she thinks foreign policy means go kill some people. That obviously, because all she said was the strongest guy on the playground has a responsibility. So she's like, we have the biggest army. We need to be using it. We have a responsibility to use it.
Here we go. Here's what we need to do. Get all the troops together. Tell them this quote from Benjamin Franklin. Speak softly and carry a big stick.
Oh, God. Yeah, I hate that saying.
That's
so
going to get them. That's going to do it. That's all we need. There ain't no more to say.
Oh, here's a good one, Brett. This is small business chum right here. This is red meat for the small business owner. Affordable health care. It's a no can do right now for middle class people working for smaller companies.
Yeah. I like that.
There ain't no middle-class people working for smaller companies these days.
Hey, you're going to have to kick rocks if you think you're getting that. That's not happening.
No look, can do. No,
look
I'm
Look around
sorry.
Here. I don't got this shit together. This business is running on a dream. I can't give you health care.
She is saying right now, affordable health care is, nope, we can't have that. I'm sorry. So if you're poor, I'm sorry you can't have health care. Because now she's saying, because the rest of the thing is, it's unfair for the unemployed to receive free health care while the premiums for the middle class have largely shot to the moon. I have a solution for that. Everybody gets it. Medicare for all. There, it's all fixed. But that's a no can do right now, Brett.
Yeah, we don't have it in the budget.
She's still mad at California. All those rules and regulations about lunch breaks and aerosols. She's still real fired up about that, but she added a little thing at the end of it, Brett. Boy, is Texas happy. So Texas is very happy because they don't have any of those things. The press and pollsters, they've been put on notice for poor performance, and we don't need to go there. And she's still concerned about the 47 million folks out of the U.S. population of 324 that are currently receiving food stamps. And she says this is just such a this is too high of a number. And what she's saying is what? We should just knock people off of food stamps?
Yeah, I mean, what else?
God, small business people, you're on, I mean, you've been on notice for like a year. Did you see that robot that we talked about recently? The crime fighting robot that just...
Yeah, it looked like Evie from the WALL-E movie. The all white, like Apple iPod looking cybersecurity robot.
Yeah. Landed, just decided like, you know what? I can't, you can't make me a cop. Like, that's what I always imagine a dog would do if it gained that, if it gained like human thoughts. It's like, you know what? You're making me smell out these people's drugs. I'm just going to have to go drown or run away. You can't make me a cop, man.
Yeah, I got to get out of this situation. Yeah, that was great. Georgetown, they had, apparently they have roving cop robots now, but they have a tendency to go into the fountains.
Yeah.
I was hoping somebody pushed it in. I think that the story kind of lost all of its oomph once I found out nobody pushed it in, because I was like, this is a killer idea. These fucking things are going to show up at places where there's fountains or where there's like water features. That's how you show off you have money, right? It's hot as hell. We're wasting water, right? Throw one of these fucking robots.
You just hate that. The idea of that water fountain just blowing water up into the air. It grinds your gears, doesn't it?
Dude, ever since doing a lot of hallucinogenic drugs, when I see like large amounts of water, I get briefly transported into this place where I see people starving for water all over the world, and then I just transpose it and like the gushing water in front of me, and I just can't stand it. Like, yeah. I can't make sense of it, but I just like leave it alone. I just have to take my hands off of it. It's just too much to deal with.
It sucks because it's beautiful.
I know, sometimes. It's fun.
It's art. It's beautiful. It's just, you look at it and you're like, you know what? I mean, there are people that have to ration their water every day. There are people that can't just turn on a faucet and get a cup of water until they have water. Let's not blow the water into the air.
Well, yeah, let's cool this out a little bit.
Yeah, I feel weird about the way that we waste water.
Wild. When you think of how precious of a resource it is.
Right, we need the hell out of it, man. Last week, it was pouring down rain for a whole day where it was flooding all over the city. High Street was flooded. You couldn't even get down it. And I went for my daily walk in a little break in the rain. And I walked by the Courtyard Marriott in my neighborhood. Goddamn sprinklers were going on the grass there. And I just was like, oh, my eyes turned red and steam started coming out of my ears. Like, this is so insane. Unnecessary. Yeah. This is the craziest thing. Like, don't put this on a timer. Water it when it needs watered.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be. No. You hire somebody. It's just so they don't have to hire somebody to water the grass either. That's all that it is.
No, it's just economical to program. It's like economical to program the UPS drivers to make all left-hand turns.
They would rather waste the water. They would rather waste an astounding amount of water, misting it while it's raining outside.
Yeah.
And kill, I mean, fuck, even killing the grass, like saturating the ground. It's bad for the grass to have that much water.
Yeah, you're going to choke it out. You're going to drown it. Yeah, I mean, and like taking some of those funds and some of that money that goes into that stuff, can we direct that towards Flint? Can we get their like pipes replaced?
Exactly.
Like there's a price tag on how much it costs. The issue is tightwad ass red Republican ass motherfuckers came in and are saying we won't pay the bill. Like their whole scenario comes down to mean-spirited politics meant to like privatize shit and fucking ruining so many people's lives. Like not acting in the interest of the people that live there in any sort of degree, you know?
I also kind of feel like Flint is definitely not the only city with these issues. Like,
no,
I've already seen it. This is going to become much more common, you know?
We have nitrate warnings
all the time here.
Dude, yeah, the water here has scared me on a few occasions. I've never had this many boil alerts or notifications of my drinking water ever. And now they're talking about, like, all the pipes and all of this area has zinc and this other neurotoxin in it. And I'm like, what the
fluoride?
Fuck?
It's called fluoride. It controls your brain.
Yeah, that's true.
All the water and all the
tubes.
That
Obama is the, well, it didn't work on us though.
Yeah, that's true. We do drink out of the tap too. We're tap drinking motherfuckers.
Yeah. I drink, when I'm working out, I just gulp down buckets of sink water from the bathroom.
Me too.
Non-filtered sink water.
There are people that are skeeved out by if you just fill your cup in the bathroom.
Yeah.
My daughter is like, no, you fill your cup. If you're going to fill my water for me, please do it in the kitchen. I'm like, fuck you, man.
Same ass water.
It's all the same water.
Same clear ass calorie-free water.
Yeah. I got something from Brian Kofelt this week on Twitter. That's BryanCoffelt is his Twitter name. He's from Portland, and he explained to me that they picketed Burgerville last week. So the IWW is still organizing around Burgerville for, I think it was Brandon his job back. Now they're
Jordan, you mean?
Jordan. Get Jordan his job back. I think they're just like, we want a union here now. We're good. We smell blood in the water. We want a union. And like, that's something I thought about. I wanted to think about how to get revenge on Uline. And like, what do you even do, Brett? Because a lot of people that buy from Uline don't have a choice. They're buying it through the budget at their job, you know? So they have a budget at their job, and they have an account with Uline.
Right.
And they have to buy the things from Uline. So Street Fight, we don't buy anything from Uline. We probably buy it from just as equally a bad company, but a company that doesn't publicly stand out there and say racist things.
Sure,
you know?
Sure. Or support, like, to openly support white supremacy.
Yeah. But I'm sure wherever we get the stuff is just as bad. So what do you really do? And then I got this thing for the Burgerville strike, and I'm like, really just try to unionize everything. You know what I mean? I know that people can't afford to lose their jobs, but if we could even get if people even got hired on and tried to people that weren't doing much got hired on and tried to unionize us, it wouldn't happen. They would fire you, but they would have to spend time fighting it. And
yeah,
it's like, can we, the only thing they respond to is money. So that's why the IWW, what they've been doing with Burgerville is really cool to me, because that is like, fine, you know what? You're probably never going to give us a union. You know, you're probably never going to address our grievances, but at least you're going to pay to have to deal with us. You're going to have to call the police, which the police showed up and stood in front of Burgerville in tactical vests and stuff like that and did what they do, protecting property, protecting capital. But I love these. I love the idea of constantly agitating at the workplace. I wish there were better ways to do it anonymously, I guess. You know, I've talked a few times about when I tried to organize at Insight and they wanted me to go in and get a list of people that would be interested in it, and it scared me and I just never ended up doing it. I mean, like, I almost feel like they could hire Brett and I to go stand outside of a place like Uline and be like, yo, how you feel about a union? And we can get ourselves we can build the solidarity without actually having to work there.
Okay.
Without having to worry about the money, I guess. Yeah, then again, we could get jobs there and just fuck everything up too.
Yeah, I mean, it takes new tactics, and it's going to take, I mean, camaraderie. That's what IWW is more than anything, is folks that, you know, got might as well, you know, fight for their dignity and to be treated right. I mean, what else are you going to do? You just lay down and let it keep happening, you know, fucking at least make it suck for them. I've been inspired by a lot of the local activists in Columbus because of that, is that, you know, we've been losing ground too. Like, the police are running amok, and it's cool that Zachary Rosen got fired. I think that's a big win, but they've also, you know, killed more innocent, black folks, and continued, you know, along with their agenda of, you know, expanding summer policing, and like it the whole thing is just you know, kind of shitty, but at the same time the constant pressure and the taking over of a lot of these public meetings and you know, local events or local like town halls and council meetings. All that stuff matters. I mean, it really is working.
Yeah.
In its own way.
Well, that's been a thing in our town, and I don't want to get too far into it, like into a local thing, but I just saw this. I saw this happen earlier in the week, and I was interested in what you would think of it. The Black Lives Matter protests that happened at Pride this year. They've been,
yeah, someone asked us to talk about this actually.
Right. So I'd like to just see what you, cause I didn't. So the other day Stonewall Columbus had a meeting to address race issues in the LGBTQ community. Right.
Uh-huh.
And, I got sent a, event invite to a protest at that for people of color
that represent the Black Pride Four.
And I looked at it and I was like, I can't go to this. Like, I support what they're doing completely, but also it's like, this is not my place. Like, I can't go to this event. And I wonder what you think about like, you want to support, like, I guess the only thing I can really do is give my support over the radio for the Black Pride 4, because I feel like it's not my place to go into Stonewall and start telling them how to do things as a white white straight guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just to give a little bit of background for folks that aren't even familiar with what we're talking about, this year at the Pride Festival, there was a protest that was planned. Now, I actually talked to Columbus police because I'm in proximity of them now through some volunteering.
Ooh.
And they knew there was going to be a protest the entire time. They were pretty much waiting for it. Like, and once it got towards the end of the parade, they're like, all right, it's happening soon. So what happened is they stood in front of the parade to stop and have a moment of silence for people of color that were trans, queer, and yeah.
Sorry. Just non-binary.
Yeah, non-binary, all of it. Yeah. Just a recognition for their lives and like their unique struggles in all of this. And the response was pretty fucking bad, man.
Beat the shit out of them. And then arrested them.
So the police jumped on them in about a matter of a minute. Like, I don't know whether or not they had time to agree to stop the parade. I mean, if someone wants to come out there and do a moment of silence, all you do is, I mean, just stop and do the moment of silence and then keep it moving, right? I mean, that's how I feel about it. But the police ended up showing up, beating the tar out of them. And then the fucking... I mean, the worst thing was the crowd response. I saw people that were cheering and like saying thank you to the police, and they were like really being awful. They were like, yeah. It was racist shit. It was bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a big deal.
It was racist. There's a lot of racism happening. I would love to hear from somebody. I mean, like, maybe maybe hit me, like DM me or like hit me on Twitter. Even if you want to come on the air and talk on July 30th when we do the next call-in show, I'd really be interested in what you think people like Brett and I should do in these sorts of cases. You know what I mean? Like, I think staying away because it's, but I want to, I support it. You know what I mean? Like, wherever there's racism, I want to stomp that out. You know what I mean? We went to Pikeville because there was racism happening. We wanted to go down there and be like, no, you shall not be racist. But then going to Stonewall, it's like,
yeah, I know. I
support the gay community, though, too.
Yeah.
But not the racist ones. Obviously, I don't like the racist gay people.
Yeah. And that's true. The racist gays can be an issue. I mean, they're their own separate issue. And the reaction from the crowd at the event was kind of bad. I mean, I was really unhappy to see that that people were kind of happy that they got arrested and everything. I'm always down for a protest and people calling attention to things and down to listen. So it was unfortunate what happened to them. And I don't know. I guess I should. I didn't get invited to the. I didn't see the event. I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I don't think they were specifically inviting me.
No, I didn't.
Brian Quinby to the event.
But
I saw it and I saw the invite and I was like, that's totally something I support. Like, I think that there should be dialogues about that sort of thing, and but they were also. The group that sent the invite were boycotting the Stonewall meeting because there hasn't been a resignation yet or a satisfactory explanation for what happened or an admonishment of the Columbus Police Department, which, I mean, I guess Stonewall's probably in a really weird position too because there are police officers, there are cops and pigs that are parts of Stonewall.
Sure.
You know what
I mean? Yeah, of course.
It's weird because Brett and I mean, we know people in the military, but we're pretty anti-military. You know what I mean? I had Francis on the show. I always feel real weird when I talk about it because I know that in my personal life, there's these people. But the fact that Stonewall can't take a stand against racist policing shows a problem with Stonewall, you know? But again, there's probably fucking Republicans that are part of Stonewall. It's like people that work for corporations that are, it's like such a varied thing. And a lot of the discourse out there between like normal people, they just don't even think about it like that. They just think every gay person's a Democrat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? For that's real. True. You know,
that's true. Which is bad too. I mean, I think that's also kind of the issue even.
Yeah,
is that those people have tend to plow through.
Well, they dehumanize everybody that's not like them. You know, they dehumanize poor people. They dehumanize any person of a different race that's not like them. They just, everybody's dehumanized and they just paint them with the broadest brush they can possibly paint them with, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing's fucking unfortunate. All you had to do is, once again, always just be chill about things. Just, you know, don't beat the problems. Don't beat an issue into submission. You don't have to like be violent about it. You know, they got to protest. I mean,
the police always, that's the only thing they can do.
You got to think about that shit, man. I don't have any problem thinking about that. Like, it doesn't affect me to think about all the ways that, you know, I don't think I'm clear from racism and shit. I know I got all kinds of racist things I still do every single day. I have no problem listening to any sort of protest or opinion on that kind of stuff. And it's really stupid the way that it's going down, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it is bad. It's just such a weird thing for you and I to talk about because we don't meet any of the intersections.
But I guess that feels like unfair though, because I do want, I mean, I feel like I can still talk. I want to at least show, I don't know. You're right. It is wild to just be like running the spot, but the support. I don't know why I wouldn't show up if I support that.
Right. I think, and that's you're right. That's what
I should have went. Maybe. Now you make me think
know.
I went.
Don't know though. That's what I mean. This is a good thing to some of the listeners could explain to us. Like we don't want, I'm not a guy that doesn't think identity politics are important. I think they're very, very important. They're like, they're just as important as class politics. You know what I mean? But I do like, I've stayed away from them for a few years now because I don't feel like I have a handle on what I'm supposed to do. I'm fucking clumsy. You know what I mean? When we recorded last week's show, when we were talking about Rob Portman's office, we had to stop it and start over again because we felt like we were being offensive to people with disabilities. You know what I mean? And it's like, I think we're just clumsy. And I know that a lot of our listeners are probably just as clumsy. And if you're just as clumsy, then, you know, I don't even mind hearing from you, but I really would. On July 30th, we're doing a call-in show, and it would be nice to get somebody who might, you know, would want to talk to us about something like this. Because it is interesting about how two white straight dudes engage with identity politics in a way that's not like, we don't want to take over the conversation. I would have gone to that thing and just stood in the back and been like, yeah, I agree with these people right here.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you could have done that. They're not going to like make you the leader or nothing.
I don't think they're going to make me. But I'm not even saying that. I'm saying like even my presence, I feel like maybe, I don't know. It's just a really odd thing. And it's something that's happening in the city, and it's happening with the left in this city. This is a major issue in this city right now with people who are politically engaged. This is not some small thing.
Yeah, yeah.
There is constantly an update on this every day.
That's
true. It's a fluid situation. And it's something that if you want to be active in your community in a political way or on the left, it's something that we should be engaging with. You know what
That's
I mean?
True. Yeah, I understand completely. But then, yeah, we don't also want to be like we're two funky ass white boys on the radio that two podcasts. And like we're here to get a picture.
I know. Well, we've talked about this in the past about getting guests and stuff like that. Is like we want to have a very diverse lineup of guests, but we're also just two white guys that do a podcast, and like the only people that tend to gravitate to us are white guys that do podcasts. So it's just hard. I don't want to be a presumptuous person.
Yeah, I mean,
and I don't want to walk into your protest. I know they're not going to make me a leader, but I honestly like I can't see myself yelling at people at Stonewall for being racist. You know what I mean? I think you had a letter asking something like that, didn't you?
What do you mean? Oh, no, about doing something racist?
About like I thought you said you had, I mean, about like a person struggling with their past politics or a person. No.
Oh, you want to do that one?
I mean, I don't care to do that. It's we still have a few minutes left in the show, and I mean it kind of, I guess, ties to this, you know. But I had a lot, I spent a lot of time thinking about it, and I probably, like I said, they didn't care if I was there or not. But I go to a lot of these protests because numbers, putting your body on the line and having a high amount of people is the most effective thing you can do to protest. Being online, it's do what you do online. There's nothing wrong with doing what you do online, and there's nothing wrong with whatever you're doing, like sending letters, calling your Congress people, that is all really great. But the thing that they respond to is your physical presence showing up in their space. I don't think this healthcare bill gets botched so badly if people aren't showing up in public spaces, you know, and making the cops confront them and things like that, you know?
I agree. Yeah. And I think, I don't want to explain. I'm not explaining other people's stuff. I read all kinds of stuff, and I you know, have a handle on some perspectives of writers and things like that. But I have no, I have no belief that that gives me any sort of like intuition into like someone else's experience, you know.
Yep.
Especially when it comes to the groups that are involved in this skirmish, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I think that it just needs to be a dialogue. It just be more of a conversation. It doesn't have to be protest and confrontational all the time. And it seems like
I prefer the confrontational ones, obviously.
Stonewall, I think, could have done a better job with some
Absolutely.
Of it.
I'm with you, man.
Oh my God, this one is bad. I don't know what I can admit to after, but this I got some advice stuff. I have two that I want to read.
Let's do these two advices real quick.
Okay,
we got this
from a guy. I'm not going to say his name just because of how ashamed he is here. I have a question about rehabilitation and political ideology. I want to say I was extremely awful before, but is there ever a reconciliation for being a Nazi in high school, but now being a communist in my mid-20s? I'll never hide what I was, but I feel like I can never truly feel like a true comrade because of it. It makes me feel like I can't ever be a true ally of everyone because of it. Fully block me for that if you want to. Oh, so harsh.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting question because I didn't have great politics, and I don't know that I would call my, I wasn't a full on Nazi ever at any point in my life, but I was racist very probably at times in my life.
Yeah, when I was a teenager, I carved swastikas into desks and drew them on like the art papers and stuff because to me, it would be fucking hilarious for somebody to come to art class and then see a swastika
out
of
nowhere. Confronted with it. At the time in your life, you felt that way. And
yeah,
like,
I'm guilty of that, of all kinds of horrific things.
And don't hide. Nobody's asking you to hide. I mean, I don't hide anything from my past. I've probably said some pretty vile shit in my past, but it's like
there's no scoreboard. You're not stained forever. I mean,
if you don't feel that in your heart now, you can be an ally. You know, I think I've brought this up on the show before. I was like a bully in high school. And I think whenever I post young pictures of me when I was young, people say like, I would have been terrified of you when I was in high school. And that's probably right. And I made a lot of people's days miserable. You know what I mean? And like, I think that what I do now is I try to compensate for that. I try to pay it back on the other side. Like if I can, I can't ever fix what I did to those people, the things that I did to those people. And I don't think I can. And if I left scars, I mean, that's obviously a pretty self-important thing for me to say, you know, like, oh, I scarred this guy, just cut him to the core and he never stopped thinking about me. But I also I know that people are affected by the way that I've acted, by the ways that I've acted in my past, you know, and I just try to do better now. And I try to do extra now. I try to do extra better and include everybody. And I try to do the right thing for people of color or for our LGBTQ people and like anybody that I probably would have been terrible to at early times in my life. I don't ever want to hurt them. You know what I mean? I never want to do something that would make somebody feel bad. And that's the best you can do. If people don't like you after that, I don't think that makes you a bad person. Just keep trying. Just keep doing the work, man. If you're a communist and like, are you going and you're going to protest and you're politically active and you have insight too. I mean, yeah, you have an insight into the thought processes of people and you can do things like Brett and I talk about it all the time. We have insight into a world that maybe other people don't have, whether it's because I'm older and I'm older than a lot of people. And we're both hillbillies and we just know people. So we have that insight and we bring that to the left. We bring that to the movement and anything that needs to get done in that department, I'm always fully willing to be there to do that work. And you, I mean, as long as you're there to do that work, you're an asset. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can uncack some of these fools. Like, if you can see the, if you know the appeal of Pepe fucking lifestyle, you're the exactly the kind of ambassador to get these people to see differently. And it's just called growth, man. I mean, it's your life, and
We're all idiots at times in our life. Yeah. Even people who are communists and have been cut. Freddie DeBoer was an idiot.
Well, he's constantly an idiot.
I know.
He's an idiot and an asshole.
But I mean, he's famous for saying he comes from four generations of Marxists.
Oh.
That's something he said. And I'm like, I mean, but he acts like an asshole all the time too. He's not like perfect or anything, you know. He hasn't lived a perfect life. We're all like, I think the way I always explain it is we're all writing the story. We're all writing our story all the fucking time,
man. And you got a comeback story. You gotta like you said, you gotta make up for it. You gotta write the comeback.
And that's
I was
hard.
A teenage Nazi that turned it around. And really, you know, can we rely on you in the future? I mean, when the shit goes down, are you a comrade or not? Depends on whether we can rely on you tomorrow to work for all people of all color all over the world versus, you know, are you going to flip into a goddamn Nazi, you know?
Exactly.
Like the same thing. I'm not going to, just because I've drawn some swastikas in my life, I haven't. You know, I'm not doing very much judging people on the color of their skin these days.
No,
you know,
no, I'm not going to beat you up for like wearing a dress or something. Like
yeah,
that.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like it's just,
your
I don't
makeup or yeah, we don't. That's just, but yeah.
I promise not to stuff you into a locker or anything like that.
And I think that's also for me, that's really the motivation. Sometimes I just think this is, I think it's selfish or maybe self-involved, or it makes us the center of attention, but there is just an insight and an access that we have into that world, and that's what desperately needs to change. Like the new metal culture that we talk about and, you know, that we enjoy and things like that, there is the aspects of it that we also need to talk to our new metal brothers and sisters about changing, you know? Like there's just a lot of history and a lot of cultural shit that has to be changed, and it doesn't make sense coming from other people. You know, we have that special relationship, you know?
Right, yeah.
So, I mean, that's something to think about. Don't be so hard on yourself for that stuff. I mean, it's stupid, of course, but you got to move on. Somebody else asked me another question. This is other, so guilty, folks. I mean, you don't need to be, don't feel so guilty about what you're doing. Let me see here. I mean, you got to make your life happen, and you know, everybody else needs to get their shit together to get us on the right path. It's not just up to you to do so. Who asked this? God damn it. Can you fill up the time at all?
Yeah, I love filling up time. But yeah, I'm just I like answering the advice too. Even though we suck at, like, we never give answers. It's kind of the same thing with our wishy-washy ass politics at time, where it's like, you just do what you gotta do, man.
No, here we go. I'm a 26-year-old dude who works as a graduate researcher for a university studying plants. Awesome.
That's cool. Sounds that's cool.
I'm interested in using science and agriculture and ecology to make our lands better for all living things. Great use of science. Way better than bombs. Recently, I got offered a new job. I've been working for low wages and lots of hours right now, like everyone else I know, going more into debt every month. I'm about to max out my credit cards while I'm trying to make this dream work. But this job would be beneficial in that it pays great. However, I'd be working in partnership with a large oil company to help restore pipelines to be ecologically beneficial. I don't think I could stand to live in this crappy oil town more than a year, but in that amount of time, I could probably pay off my debts and have some good job experience and help make the world a little less shitty. I'm worried that if I took the job, I would be helping oil companies as well as having to move to an oil town and live with a bunch of shitheads. Any advice would be appreciated.
Well, number one, If I was a young dude, I would have been fine in an oil town. Back when I was a young guy, I would have kicked ass in an oil town. I was cut out for that work.
I think that there's probably a lot to offer there. Maybe it's not your ideal circumstances, but there's probably a lot to be offered there.
Organize a fucking, if you can organize an oil, if you can organize leftists and an oil, I mean, isn't that what we're all trying to do?
People to complain at their job.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is so here's the thing.
I couldn't work for an oil, but let me come back on this now. I couldn't work for an oil company now.
Okay.
Like, I think now that I hate the word woke or whatever, but now that I'm like there,
what
I
if
don't
they
feel like it.
Told you they were going to like restore an old oil well somewhere and make it like a ecology, like, wind farm park, and they wanted you to be like the spokesperson. They wanted you to like talk about it to people.
Okay, yeah, I might do that. I mean, I don't know though.
Yeah,
I don't want to work for like Exxon, no matter what beautiful whatever thing they put on there to make it pretty. I don't want to vote for Exxon or work for Exxon ever. But man, I don't know. But I have like a kind of a privilege though, right? Like where like I have a pretty cool, a pretty cool job.
You've chosen the most radical lifestyle job possible.
Yeah, not everybody can do that either. You know?
I think if you really can do it in a year and it's going to get rid of all your student debt, which gives you a lot more freedom in your life,
mm-hmm.
to be honest. And you can probably learn a lot about the fucked up things that they do to the environment there and maybe take that and use that in the future, like mm-hmm. afterwards. So I'm really not opposed to it. I don't think you should beat yourself up for it. I think I worked for Walmart. I mean, while we were doing this show, I went and made bicycles for Walmart. I got paid like $4.50 to $13.50 per bicycle to build them. But I totally worked at a Walmart, which seems like something that would be unacceptable for this show, right?
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm also thinking too? Like, I don't know that the worst type of people in the world work in an oil yard. I know they're blue collar and they can be pretty conservative, but you might meet some people. You might get an understanding of the type of people who take jobs like that. There might be a lot of people there like you. Now, I know that... I know that, like, if you go to a dive bar in an oil town, you're probably going to see a fight or something like that. But you never know who's going to work there, man. I have people that I truly love from the cable company, you know?
Like, yeah, and
that are completely not like me, that are nothing, like, that would hate what I do, would hate everything about what we're doing, but I have an affection for them because we work together. And like, just don't turn yourself off to even making, you could make friends, you know what I mean? And you can impart whatever wisdom you have, whatever you know, whatever politics you know, if you can sit down and talk, you can find out how to address people that live in a fucking oil town, you know, which is their politics are going to be like predicated on some of the worst shit in the world because they're getting paid for the oil that we should stop fucking with, you know?
Yeah. I think for me, you would still be assisting with making it ecological. Like it or not, this oil's getting pumped out of the ground.
Again, yeah, you're right about that too. Oil's going to keep happening.
And so you're involved with making it a little bit beneficial. I think that, you know, you should take it up and use that time as to find out what you really want to do and pursue your passions and, you know, let it fund, you know, the same way I sold bogus leads, man. I sold like the junkiest crap fucking leads to people and got thousands of dollars out of them so that I can make money. At the same time, I was starting the beginning of Street Fight. I was editing Street Fight at work while also working for like a complete fucking ripoff company, you know?
Right. And you've been like doing the jig is up sort of thing with, like, you tell people what it was like to work where you were. You know what I mean? So like, you're still even telling that story, which is, that's important, man. We talk about work. We take our work experiences. And I really do think you could get something out of working with people in the oil field. I feel like it's possible.
If it's a fucking year, in the next year, it's not like we're going to have a war over green energy and you're picking the wrong side. It would probably be better for you to rub elbows in that and get the experience, because you're still a young guy. You got the freedom to do so. I think that it sounds like a good opportunity, and I would totally fucking do it.
Yep. All right, man. We did a show.
Yeah.
We started very late tonight.
We did. So we had little trials and tribulations.
Let me see. But we did an hour 15 still. That's how much we love you people.
Yeah, 75. Yeah, it's been a little sporadic with the posting. Sorry about that. We did a break week. It was kind of odd. Brian was not used to being yelled at or shamed or like tough talked.
What happened?
You said that when we didn't record, we took Tuesday, Wednesday off, that like you were around your wife the whole time and she's just kind of nice to you, and you didn't have my gruffness.
Yeah, you were grumpy. I didn't have anybody grumping on me for a week. I was like, what the heck's going on here? But we got some cool stuff coming up in the future. We got some cool shows in the can too. I got a show with Sam Knight that's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
That is cool. I already did it. It's like I know what's in it. Talk to him about drugs. They got some of those patented dark drug stories from Street Fight Radio that we hand out. It's not all flowers when you use drugs.
That's true. That's true. We are going to continue along this path. If you want to support what we do and get rewarded for it, it's very simple to do. Go to patreon.com, patreon.com/streetfightradio. There you can sign up for our monthly zine. Now, we it's in the mail. It's not here yet. We aren't sending them out. But the Patriotism zine is getting sent out for July. I also got some original in-the-box Desert Storm trading cards to send people out. That's the loot that's going out this month. So whatever you signed up for, get ready. Maybe you'll be lucky. You'll get that Commander-in-Chief George H.W. Bush card.
Schwarzkopf, he was the star of the
Schwarzkopf
Iraq.
Card.
He was the star of that time. Like, everybody was looking up. I was into him, you know? He would show up in cartoons and stuff. Oh, look, it's General Schwarzkopf.
Yeah, so you never know what you're going to get. Next month, we're sending out, if you sign up now, if you go to streetfightradio.com/support, there's a link. You can click on it as well. You can sign up this month, and what are we doing next month? What's the
work, baby?
Work will be next month. So that's what you'll be getting.
And if you want to do art, if you feel like draw, we have a specific assignment that we're going to try to hand out for the occult zine. If we can get enough artists, we're going to give you something to do and you can draw it and you can be in the occult scene. And, we also, I'm looking for submissions for food and family. Those are two that I'm looking for submissions from. I would love to get some good stories about food service, and I would love to get some stuff about like just maybe some recipes and things like that for the food one. I think it's going to be good. Street Fight does food. You know what I mean?
I love food. I need to do my anarchist cookbooks.
Well,
again.
I'm a big fat boy, so we know I love food.
So you can sign up there. We sent out for the July, it was, what was it? Premium Bali was the name of the kratom we sent out for July. And I just got 5 kilos in the mail that's going out at the end of this month of Red Borneo. So,
oh, that's my shiz.
Yeah.
That's my jam.
You can sign up once again over at patreon.com. $10 a month will get you 25 grams of kratom. And for $13 a month, you can get kratom, you get our zine, you get access to our live videos and all the bonus stuff we put out there, coupon codes and other special audio and other things on the way. So please come back and tell a friend, review us on iTunes. Let's get this cracking. We're Street Fight. Peace.